Hello and welcome to the Learning to Mum podcast, a podcast dedicated to talking all things being a mum and all things being a female. The latter I feel much more qualified to talk about. I'm passionate about the honest accounts, the raw reality, and all the highs and lows that come with motherhood. So welcome to this podcast hosted by me, Kelly Beaumont. I'm so grateful to have you listening to me today. Enjoy. Hi everybody, welcome to season 2, episode 4 of the Learning to Mum podcast. It's Friday morning and typically this episode would be sat in your listening at about 7 a.m. I think it launches. But guess what? I didn't get around to recording. And that has been the theme for several weeks of this month and several weeks of the month before, because we're in day 2 of July, aren't we? So let's not get too carried away. And I was really conscious that I'd not recorded for quite some time and felt that I just wanted to pop on and give a bit of an update, really, as to what's been happening for us, what's going on, etc., etc. So I hope you're all doing well. I hope that if you're listening to this, you're feeling good. If you're going through a time with baby or whatever your kind of situation is, I hope that you can remember that each stage passes, and whatever you're feeling today, if it's not great, it will shift. It always does in some capacity. And if you're feeling great, then I am thrilled for you and I hope it sticks around for a while. So Ophelia is 10 and a half months, swiftly heading to the 11 month mark in around about 8 days. So gosh, that's crackers when you think about it like that, that in a month or so's time, we're going to have a 1 year old. And I feel like the year has gone quickly when you look at it in the round. And then at certain points, it's kind of felt like it's on rewind when you're at certain points and you think, good Lord, will this last forever? And I certainly have felt moments of that during the last few weeks. That doesn't mean to say that I haven't enjoyed those moments. It just means that they have been pretty tough. So we have been going through what is often referred to as the 10-month regression. And I typically don't do much reading about this kind of stuff in advance because I found that it's not always helpful. And babies will do things at their own pace. So you could be preparing yourself for this to happen and then it doesn't, or it's delayed, or it comes early. And I just think until I'm in the thick of it, it doesn't really work for me to be over kind of prepared or over aware of what may be to come. But then when I'm in it, I like to reach out to other people and see if they're experiencing the same or they have gone through the same with their children, just to kind of, I don't know, reassure me perhaps that what's happening is typical. And yeah, just trying to equip myself with a bit of knowledge. So just because I'm talking about this doesn't mean that it's going to happen to you. And it may be that your children are a little bit older and you think, yeah, I can relate to that, or no, that wasn't the case for us. This is just me sharing what we have been through and what we're going through. So I would say pretty much bang on the 10-month mark, there or thereabouts, sleep changed for Ophelia. So we were in a bit of a routine. Well, no, we were in a routine, full stop. And we would kind of put Ophelia down probably around about 6:45 at night. And she would sleep until somewhere between 6 and 7 in the morning. And I think those, the kind of stepping stone into things changing was recognizing that Ophelia was waking up much earlier. So around about the 5 a.m. mark. And I didn't kind of lose my mind too quickly. I just thought, well, summer is now here, and despite us having shutters and blackout curtains, there's still light that creeps in, and I know how sensitive to light I am myself, so I assumed that Ophelia was feeling the same. So we got some of those clip-in, like blackout curtainy blind things. You know, the ones that everybody raves about, and we do too. But it just didn't seem to really make a difference for her wake-up time. And it was a bit of a pain putting them up. So we just kind of refrained from doing it and thought, well, she'll just wake up when she's ready anyway. And actually, I'm not too bothered about a 5 a.m. start. I mean, I would much prefer if we didn't, because there's a difference between waking up at 5 a.m., having a steady morning coffee and coming round, versus a baby who's wide awake, feeling alert and ready to party at 5 a.m. But what we have kind of been doing is getting her out of her cot at 5 a.m. and doing a bit of kind of contact napping. If Charles is at home and not at work, he will typically do that because she seems to settle really, really well on him. But yeah, the other mornings it's me. And sometimes she will go back to sleep, and other times she's just not playing ball. But we've got into a bit of a good routine when she falls asleep on me, that she will like fall asleep on my chest, and then I kind of turn over to the side and kind of hug her close to me, and then kind of eventually slip from underneath her and let her lie on the bed next to me with a pillow on the side so she doesn't fall out. And I don't typically fall asleep, but it allows me to just doze. And because now she's, nearly 11 months and she's on the 91st percentile, she's a fairly big baby, and having her on my chest when I'm not so big is pretty tricky. So yeah, we've got into a good habit of kind of doing the shuffle, and more often than not, she will stay asleep. So whilst that isn't ideal, that's kind of how we've navigated around that. And then the next change that we recognise, I would say, kind of blended into one, that being her taking a lot more to settle at bedtime than she ever has done historically, and then waking up through the night. So let's talk about settling. So our routine before was to, if it was nap time, we'd give her dummy. Ophelia still has her dummy. It works for us. I know everyone's got their own kind of routine or views on dummies, but that's what works for us. So we'd give her dummy probably 10, 5 minutes before her nap time, and we would then carry her upstairs, try and kind of lay her on our kind of like chest, shoulder as we were walking upstairs, to let her know that it was kind of heading to bedtime. We'd go into her room, close her curtains, close her blinds, and put a white noise machine on and lay her in a cot. And more often than not, 9 times out of 10, we'd walk out the room and she'd just self-soothe or pretty much fall asleep imminently. And that's because we've got into a really good rhythm of knowing her kind of like awake windows and things like that. And then at bedtime, she would have her nighttime feed, and then we would put her down. And again, she would pretty much fall asleep. Her room would already be dark, her white noise machine would be on for bedtime, and we would take her into the room and put her down. And like I say, more often than not, she'd either be asleep or head into sleep. And we've always been quite keen to encourage her to drift off when she's in her cot, as opposed to falling asleep on us, because what we kind of learned was that if she fell asleep on us, we put her down in a cot, she'd wake up and she would kind of link falling asleep on us to falling asleep. So feel that she needed to be back on us in order to fall asleep. So where possible, we try to kind of initiate that self-soothe, self-discipline in going to sleep. That's just what worked for us. And yes, so then what started to happen is that just wasn't working. She would sob when we were left the room. She would stand up in her cot and shout and just generally need quite a lot of settling. And I'd heard things around kind of like separation anxiety and all that kind of stuff, but whether it was separation anxiety or not, I'm not sure, because when we were dropping off at nursery, nothing changed. When we walked out of the room, yeah, there was a little bit of, upset, but actually, I think She was okay. There was no other real signs that it was separation anxiety, and more just struggling to get herself into a sleep state without real support. And then, so that was taking a lot longer to get her to go to sleep. Sometimes we were having to do contact naps, although I was really reluctant to do that because I didn't want to kind of, I don't know, create the pattern that that was what we did again. Whether or not that would have been true, I don't know, but it just wasn't right for me. So I would, where possible, just kind of go in, shush her, pat her on her bum, mainly stroke her hair and pull her hair a little bit. That's what she does to self-soothe as well. She's learned that that's what we do to help get her like sleepy, so she mimics that, which is really lovely to watch. So yes, it was taking her a lot longer to get to sleep, and then we were finding that she would wake up and she would need settling. She would sob until we went into the room. We'd go in, we'd have to settle again, stroke her hair, yada yada yada, put in her dummy. And then I started thinking, gosh, is it the dummy? Is that the problem? You know, she's falling out, she's waking up because the dummy's not in and we're having to go do it. But again, she'd already demonstrated that she was able to locate the dummy and put it back in herself. So I think I was just looking for all of these reasons as to what it could be, and actually failing to acknowledge that probably it was something to do with the 10-month regression. I should also point out at this stage that people have different views of labeling it as a regression, because it's far from that in terms of it's happening because there's development happening, which is a great sign. And regression suggests that we're taking backward steps. I think typically it feels like a regression, so I'm comfortable labeling it as that, because you've gone from having an amazing night's sleep to feeling like you're functioning off a morning coffee and having your window open to let the fresh air blow in your face whilst you work, so that you don't kind of have a mid-morning and mid-afternoon and lunchtime nap and everything else. So yeah, I think dependent on how you want to look at it, actually it's not a regression, it's a great kind of acknowledgement that your child is developing. It doesn't necessarily mean if they don't have that, that they're not developing. It's just a good way to look at it if you're kind of really struggling with the lack of sleep. And it's been a real saving grace for me to just kind of reflect on this is a moment in time and this is why it's happening and it's completely normal, it's fairly common, etc., etc. But that isn't to say that it hasn't been tough. And then these kind of cruel moments of reprieve happen. So the night before last, she pretty much slept through till 5 o'clock after being put down at about 7. And last night, when Charles was back at work today, which meant that the night was just me, she was awake probably 5 times during the night and then wide awake shouting at 5 o'clock. So yeah, I'm not sure we're through it just yet, but that's just how it is. So that's the sleep side of things. Other things to note is the shift in having an opinion. Woo! It's like getting ready for like the terrible twos that people talk about, because this girl is not even 11 a month, 11 a month, 11 months, and her opinion is strong. She likes to talk a lot, and you know, in the kind of baba, mama, dada, whatever, all of those words, and she will raise her voice and say those words really fast and close together. When she wants something, she opens her hands and kind of like tries to signal things towards her. She points. She's just very alert and aware, and that's great, but also really difficult sometimes, because you've gone from having this person that is fairly relaxed and laid back to somebody who has an opinion and wants her voice heard and knows what she does and doesn't want. So I'm just in the process of adjusting to that, because I'm a really super headstrong person and I can see flecks of that already in Ophelia. And of course, that's going to happen because she is a byproduct of me. And Charles said, she really looks like me, but she is really like you. And I think that that is fairly accurate. She is the double of him, and other than the blue eyes and the hair, she has a lot more hair than him. And the personality, definitely in these early stages, is very similar to how I was as a child and how I have turned and morphed into adult life. So that will be really, really fun. But look, I'm so thrilled that she is showing that she is advancing, and people keep commenting on how alert she is. And at nursery, I mean, I just cannot tell you how proud I am of the feedback that nursery gives. We had something called a parent partnership day where they ring you. It's a bit like a parents' evening at school, and they just talk about how they're developing, how they are in nursery. And I just feel we were told everything that you could possibly want to hear as a parent. So how Ophelia is really, excuse me, really happy, really friendly, really smiley, really content, just never seems to be sad or moan, eats every bit of food that's put in front of her, no matter what the meal is. Just, yeah. Just, yeah, I mean, it was just a wonderful, wonderful conversation. And I feel like I'm going to have to get used to somebody talking like really positively about my child. I feel like the typical thing that we do, I don't know whether it's humans, females, I don't know, but we kind of deflect. You know, it's that kind of classic, oh, that's a nice outfit. Oh, it's really old. Or, oh, I got it in the sale. And I kind of felt myself slipping into that with the commentary about Ophelia. You know, the nursery nurse was saying how she's, I don't know, really happy and smiley. And I was like, oh, they are at this age, aren't they? And actually, that isn't true. I open Ophelia's book every day from nursery or every time she's there. And she is, they have like five different faces as to how happy they are. And Ophelia's never not been the happiest in terms of the one they circle. And that isn't true for every child. And of course, that's absolutely fine. You know, every child is different. But if they're telling me that about my daughter, relish in that and enjoy it, because once you start doing that deflecting, I feel like that's gonna instill something in my longer term parenting style, and therefore what Ophelia kind of takes from that. And yeah, I'm trying to be conscious of my responses to things because they turn into little sponges, don't they? So yeah, the personality is definitely there, the opinion's coming through. Her food is still so great. How much, like, how explorative she is, how much she eats, just how, like, she sits in her high chair and she's happy to be fed, but also really happy to feed herself. I just feel like we've got a really good thing going on with food, and we've just never seemed to have a problem. Again, I think it's going to really hit me hard when that changes, which I'm sure it will, you know, when they start to decide that they're allowed to say no to things. So I think that'll be a significant period of adjustment. But as it stands, absolutely loves her food. And I was thinking about all of this and I thought, gosh, it could be perceived as quite negative in terms of an update. And that wasn't my intention. My intention is to share the reality of what's happening. But actually, the flip of all of this stuff happening means that we can just do so much more with her because she is so much more aware. We went to the Deep, which is like similar to a sea life centre. She absolutely loved looking at all the fish the whole time she was there. She was just mesmerised. We've taken her to soft play. She was able to interact with that. And it's just these things are kind of, for me, what I was really looking forward to without wishing any of Ophelia's months, weeks, days away. It's just, for me, I think this is the parenting stage. From here on out, I feel like I'm gonna excel. The early kind of baby, you know, very squishy, very kind of you know, eat, sleep, poop, repeat. Just it just wasn't me. You know, it was the time that I really struggled with in the early stages. And if you have been listening to this podcast or you listen back, you'll hear that quite openly. But now I feel like I'm stepping into the parenting phases that I am most excited for, and that fills me with just absolute joy. So, yeah, I am just trying to balance everything out by saying, yes, all of this is happening, And it is tough, but it's great in terms of how she's developing. And it means that we get to do more of the stuff that I absolutely love doing with her. And seeing her explore these things for the first time and watching her little eyes light up and her smile. Oh, I mean, that is just the priceless stuff, isn't it? So, wherever you are in your journey, if it's a time that you're struggling with, I think just know that that will shift. And if it's a time that you're really kind of, you know, you want to enjoy, but you're kind of, I don't know, hindered by some of these challenging things, then try to just step back and acknowledge why these things are happening and what it grants you in return. So, all I wanted to update on was just kind of where we were going with the podcast. Or all I wanted to update on, in addition to what I've just shared with you, is what's happening with the podcast. And I just wanted to share that just because it's happening less frequently doesn't mean that I don't want to do it. It's just I'm really finding it tricky to juggle everything. So, again, if you've listened to previous episodes, you know that I'm back at work 4 days a week. And then when I'm not at work, I'm with Ophelia. And I've also just recently started a business, Olive Avocado, which is focused on female menstrual health. And I'm absolutely, you know, this is my passion project through and through. And I'm giving so much time and energy to that. So, spare time historically, I would try and weave in some of the podcast recording. Whereas now that's just super consumed by the business concept and developing that further. So, I just wanted to kind of summarize this by saying that, as ever, I'm not going to put any strain on myself to make sure that there's a podcast episode every week. In fact, I'm going to say now that that just will not be happening. What is more likely that will happen is either a bi-weekly or monthly update to let you know where Ophelia's at, how she's developing, some of the things that I've learned along the way, peppered in with speaking to other mums who have had different experiences to just widen the net of showing you what can happen and how different situations happen to different people. So I will leave it there and say that I will hopefully speak to you before the month is out. If I don't, I will absolutely do my next episode in August and give you an update, you know, when she's one and share with you what's kind of been happening. And if you're kind of curious to what's going on in the other work that I'm doing, head over to Olive Avocado Coaching on Instagram. Follow me on there for that journey. If you are a female and you're listening to this, that is going to be of benefit to you. If you're a male and you're listening to this, I would ask, what's the reason you're listening? Are you a dad who has a partner, or are you a dad that is a single dad and you work with women? Then also heading over to that Instagram account and seeing the type of work that I'm doing could also be beneficial to you as well. So, yes, hopefully that gives you all a bit of a flavor as to what's been happening in the world of us. And as I said, I hope that wherever you are in your journey, you are enjoying it. And if right now you're not, I'm telling you it's absolutely okay and also very, very normal. And if at any point it gets, you know, too much, remember the last episode that I did with Beck. You can reach out to people. There is nothing but support out there. Don't feel ashamed of how you're feeling because I guarantee that either the mum that you've spoken to most recently, or somebody in your friendship circle has experienced something the same or similar. So I will leave it there. I will speak to you all again soon, hopefully, and I hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful week. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Learning to Mum podcast. I hope you found it somewhat insightful, or it gave you a little bit of insight into the reality of being a mum. You might be able to hear Ophelia in the background saying goodbye too. If you want to hit subscribe, that would be really appreciated, and it'll mean that as new episodes are launched, they'll drop straight into your preferred listening. So, I'll see you all next week. Have a good one. Bye.